Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. Matilda the Musical, based on the book by Roald Dahl, opened at the Schubert Theater in April of 2013. There have been over 900 Broadway performances of Tim Minchin's delightfully dense lyrics and memorable melodies. The book of the musical is by Dennis Kelly, and it's directed by Matthew Warchus. Christopher Sieber vaulted into the role of the horrible, nasty headmistress Agatha Trunchbull in April of 2014.
If you want to throw the hammer by your country, you have to stay inside the circle all the time. If you want to make the team, you don't need happiness or self-esteem. You just need to keep your feet inside the line.
Sieber's previous Broadway credits include Beauty and the Beast, Chicago, Triumph of Love, Thoroughly Modern Millie, the 2002 revival of Into the Woods, Spamalot, Shrek the Musical, the 2010 revival of The Caja Fol, and the most recent revival of Pippin. He earned Tony nominations for Shrek and Spamalot. He's appeared in films and on television, though notably not on any incarnation of Law & Order. He frequently works with Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, performing in Broadway Bears and emceeing the Broadway Flea Market, and he'll be at this year's Broadway Barks on July 11th. Christopher Sieber, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hi, should I talk like that too? Like an NPR voice?
No. Okay.
Yes.
No, but be yourself.
Okay, Broadway. Broadway! There we go. No, you turned your volume down. She's literally, if you could be, are you at home? She's turning your volume down because I all of a sudden got excited. All right.
So how did you come to the production of Matilda?
It was a long, long road. I had a friend working for the marketing company and said, hey, there's this show called Matilda that's at RSC, I think, at the time. And they started the marketing there. And he says, there's a part in it that's basically for you. It's right up your alley. It looks like it hurts, and it's really athletic, and you have to sing high notes. So it's, you know, basically get Sieber. So I went to London when I was playing in the West End, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is really right up my alley. So then they brought Bertie Carvel over, he was there, and he was nominated for the Tony for it. And then he was leaving. So then I called my friend David Holzenberg, who's our musical director at the show, and we have been friends for 20 years or more. And he said, I emailed him and said, hey, I know Bertie's leaving. Are you seeing people? Because, you know, I'm right here. And he said, I hate to tell you this, but we hired
Craig Bierko.
Yes, Craig Bierko. And Craig hurt himself so bad during the rehearsal process and during the performances that, he hurt his shoulder so bad, he hurt his neck so bad that he ended up not doing the things that the part kind of needed. And then he tried and he tried and he tried. And then he hurt himself so bad that he really just couldn't even do the show. So what happened? Now, this is a course of like 3 months that Craig was, you know, the rehearsal process is really long because there's a lot of athleticism in the show. So I'm hearing this from cast members in the Broadway company, and I'm like, okay, great. Let me call and find out what's going on. And they said, well, we're going to let the understudies take it for about 6 months, and then we'll see where we're at. So these understudies, Chris Hoke and Ben Thompson, were switching back and forth. So every four performances, they would switch back and forth. So they didn't have the principal of Agatha Trunchbull. So I went up to ART. This is a long story. But I went up to ART and...
Just as long as those understudies didn't get so badly hurt that now they're dead.
They didn't. But I can understand why people get hurt during the show because I broke my hand.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
But getting to that. So I was at ART and they said, hey, they really want to see you for Trunchbull, finally. And I said, great. I was doing a play, so I had to take the Acela train to get down New York. I had exactly an hour to get in, get seen, do the audition, get back on a train, go back to Boston. So, and then they said, hey, you got it. So I got the part. Matthew Warchus and I talked via Skype on the computer, and he basically...
That's the director?
The director, Matthew Warchus, our director. He was in London, and I was in Boston and Cambridge, and he had said, so basically, you know, the part is yours if you'd like it. You know, it's yours if you like it. I said, yes, I'd like it. Thank you very much. And so I got the part. Well, that wasn't it. So they literally, because they had so many injuries and everything, they wanted to make sure the next actor doing it could actually do it. And so they literally made me jump through hoops. I was at the Chelsea Piers here in New York City at the gymnasium and jumping through hoops. I learned how to do the vault. There's a big vault that Trunchbull has to do on a trampoline and crazy, and then all these extensions and these tumbling passes and all this thing. And I could, but I didn't get the... go ahead, yes, you've got it, for like a month. So our director told me I got the part, but I didn't get the, okay, you've got the part. So it was really touch and go for a little while. And then I went in there and then I started rehearsals and then I broke my hand. So my rehearsal process was about 15 weeks, which is extraordinary because normally I go into show in about, the record is 4 days. I've gone into a Broadway show in 4 days. But I finally got into it, and now it's mine, and they can't take it away from me. And I'm going to be there quite some time. I signed for another year, so I'm going to be there for a long time. What? Oh, my God, I'm exhausted.
Well, sorry, we just have 25 more questions.
Oh, great. No, kidding. That was the longest answer.
What about the role? What about the play makes it worth breaking your hand and then sticking with it and keeping doing it and asking so much of yourself physically?
The greatest part about doing this show is, number one, it's a great story. Number two, it's an incredible part. Number three, more importantly than anything other than that, is I get to scream at kids and throw children around. That is the greatest thing. And I get to scare audiences. I mean, Trunchbull is funny. Agatha Trunchbull, the part I play, she's funny not because she says jokes. She's scary beyond belief. I mean, she's frightening, and it's a real departure for me because normally I go for the goofs and the laughs. I mean, it is Spamalot, for gosh sakes, you know, and I did, Shrek, Spamalot and then Shrek. Goofy, crazy, over-the-top crazy parts. Now, she's not necessarily over-the-top. The thing I found is the more frightening you are, the more the audience laughs in almost an uncomfortable way, which is actually kind of a trip, you know, to see people when you – I make entrances through the house, you know, up the aisles, and seeing people lean away from me as I'm going up the aisle because they're like, don't touch me. What is she going to do to me? So it's really cool. But truly, I scream at children for a living, and that's – I mean, I think that's every adult's dream, to, you know, really. Because, you know, I'm 46 now, and, you know, screaming at kids is pretty awesome, you know. I mean, these kids are amazing, first of all, for us, too, because they, you know, we backstage, you know, I'm Christopher, and on stage I'm Agatha, but they know me. They know me, Christopher, and they know it's just me underneath all this makeup and fat suit and crazy costume. And so on stage every now and then, you know, I'll get really in their face, like really intense Agatha Trunchbull in their face. And there's that secret smirk on their face, like, you're crazy. Look at you go. You're crazy. So it's pretty much a gift for me. And I'm still having a great time. So thank goodness. You know, I don't stick around if I'm not having a good time. So I still am.
It's not the first time you've done drag, but it is a different kind of drag.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about this is, my agent was submitting me for all these drag roles, and I was like, you know what, I can't do this. I mean, yes, Hairspray, I did that at Paper Mill Playhouse and the Cape Playhouse, and then I did La Cage aux Folles on tour with George Hamilton.
I saw it in Schenectady.
Oh, you saw it in Schenectady, okay.
You were wonderful.
Why, thank you. That show is exhausting. I never want to do that. See, this show, yeah, so as far as, like, this isn't really necessarily drag. It's just because she's really so ambiguous. She's not man or woman, and you know, you can't tell except for if she wasn't wearing boobs, you would be like, "What is it?" I mean, she's kind of like Pat. Mm-hmm. You know, who am I, Pat? So she's not here or there, and that's. I wouldn't say this is a drag role, but that La Cage aux Folles on tour was just. I was so exhausted, I actually had to go to the doctor. I was in oxygen by the end. It was a year and 3 months, and by the end of it, I needed oxygen for every performance because I was so exhausted. Because it's just the road, you know, it's just the road on top of that. And then doing that role, it's a massive mess. You never leave stage. It's 3.5 hours nonstop, 8 shows a week on the road. I don't want to do that again. So anything after that is a breeze. Anything after that is a breeze.
What show did you go in after only 4 days rehearsal?
That was Thoroughly Modern Millie. I was doing the revival of Into the Woods with Vanessa Williams, and it was that was so much fun. It's one of my favorite shows of all time, and I'll tell you a funny story. But the show was closing, and in an actor's life, one can be found in a sticky situation where your show closes, and you're like, oh, I don't have anything lined up. I don't have anything to do. And just so happens, my friend Mark Kudish, who's in Hand of God right now, was leaving for a 3-month absence. So they called me and said, hey, what are you doing? learn this Patter song. Can we see you tomorrow? The Patter song from Thoroughly Modern Millie that Trevor Graydon sings is ridiculously long and gets faster and faster. Enclose your find a small container of the stuff I talk about. Just cavalierly remove the lid and take a whiff if you've a doubt. Sure you wouldn't want me to. I know it forever now because I had to learn it in one day.
Yeah.
And I went into this audition. We closed on a Sunday. No, the week before we closed, I went on that Monday, the week before we closed, and I had to learn this Patter song, and I thought, I just, like, bombed, like, you know, mushroom cloud and desolation, everything's gone, my life is over, I'll never work again, and then they called and said, we'd love for you to play Trevor Graydon in Thoroughly Modern Millie. I was like, are you kidding me? I was awful. I was terrible. But it was with the original cast. And so, but they said, Mark is leaving, like, now. I'm like, okay. So 4 days later, there I am doing Trevor Graydon. And the only thing I was worried about was the Patter song. And there was this wicked dance in Act Two, too, that I had to really learn, too. But for the most part, yeah. So it's kind of, you don't have time to be scared. You don't have time to be freaking out because you really just don't have time. You just have to concentrate on making sure nobody dies.
Right.
So that was, yeah. Lacage was like 7 days. Lacage, because I'm just, call Sieber, you know, call Sieber, get him, because he'll go on a show in 7 days. What happened was, so I'm going into Chicago on Broadway, doing Billy Flynn for pretty much the third or fourth time. It had been 7 years since I've seen the show or been in the show. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to play Billy again. I should probably refresh my memory. This was a Sunday.
They both reach for the gun, in case you...
Yes, they both did. That's your grounds. They both reach for the gun. I'm at the box office getting my ticket to see Chicago, and my phone rings, and my agent said, they don't want you to see Chicago today. They'd rather have you see Le Cage aux Folles over at the Longacre. And I said, great. That's a weird way to learn the show that you're going into by seeing another one, but hey, why not? So I go see the show. Harvey Fierstein is in there, who's been a friend of mine for 25 years or more. And then Jeffrey Tambor was not in the show. Jeffrey Tambor and Harvey were the headliners at the time. They took over for Douglas Hodge and Kelsey Grammer. So I'm there watching, and my friend Chris Hoke is the understudy, who's understudied me before and other things. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. That's weird. So I go backstage to see Harvey, and he grabs me. He pulls me into his dressing room. He closes the door. He throws me down on the couch. He says, are you going to do the show with me? I was like, what? Are you going to do the show with me? I was like, what are you talking about? Are you going to do the show? Jeffrey Tambor just up and left me. He just up and left. I don't know where he's going. Oh, my God. Please, please help me. I've had one night stands that lasted longer. I was like, okay. So, and then literally that deal started on, I think, Sunday. And Monday we said, okay, this is the deal. And I started rehearsals Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then the following Tuesday I was in the show. And Christine Harris, the PSM, the production stage manager over there, she said, now you have another week if you'd like to. And I said, let's just do it. Let's just go out there. Let's just go out there and see what happens. And so I went in, and yeah, the first week was like, I don't know what's happening. But, you know, and it's such a small it was such a small production and a small group of actors that you could get run over really easily, and you know, luckily there weren't any large set pieces that could come crashing into you or anything like that. But yeah, it was crazy. But that's what makes theater alive for me. Is it's so exciting because anything could happen. People don't go to see like NASCAR to see people race around a track. They go for the crashes, and that's why I like theater, because I do like it. Because it's real and it's in front of you, and it's that excitement of, ooh, anything could happen. Ooh, this is exciting. Ooh, they could die at any minute.
No. Hopefully not.
We might see somebody die tonight. But that's the excitement part. So I was like, yeah, my adrenaline. I had the biggest adrenaline hangover the first week. You know, when your adrenaline just goes, and then you're like wondering why your head and your body hurts so much. Your body is putting out so much adrenaline. Tim Curry once said to me during Spamalot, he says, you know, Christopher, actors probably put out more adrenaline than any other people. It would probably kill a normal person. I was like, yeah, you're right. You're probably right, yeah.
I'm just trying to think of more people you've worked with to get you to do more impressions of people.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. I've worked with everybody, and it's great. I mean, it's so cool. It's so neat. Yeah, neat. That's Minnesota boy. Yeah.
And do you do impressions of them to them? Do they all know that you do them?
Harvey's heard me do him, and he's laughed and laughed and laughed. He says, "You're the only one that knows it when I have a cold."
That's incredible. Our guest is Christopher Sieber, who's currently playing Miss Trunchbull in Matilda the Musical on Broadway.
High in her tower, she sits by the hour, maintaining her hair. Blithe and becoming, and frequently humming a light-hearted air. Ah, agony, far more painful than yours, when you know she would go with you if there only were doors. Agony!
You said you had a funny story about Into the Woods.
Into the Woods, the revival. I was Rapunzel's prince, and Greg Edelman was Cinderella's prince. So, and we're the brother princes. So in this revival production, there were two wolves. So it was the brother wolves and the brother princes. So, and one wolf went off with the three little pigs, and one went off for Little Red in the revival. Yeah, and not in the original production, but in the revival. So, and then after that, we have to quick change into our prince garb because we got about a song and a half, maybe two songs, to get out of all these prosthetics and out of the wolf costume with just fur and fur and fur, and get into our prince and look just gorgeous. And we have about maybe 10 minutes to do that. It's not a lot of time. So that's what's so amazing. It's like, oh my God, weren't they just wolves? Well, Greg hurt his back during the wolf line. Hello, little girl. What's your... So he hurt his back. I'm his understudy. We're in previews on Broadway. I haven't had a rehearsal at all to understudy him. But it's my favorite show of all time. So I know every line. Right. I know all the music. And I'm just like, in rehearsals, I'm like watching it like a little kid. Like, this is amazing. I was planning this since I, you know, I heard the cast recording when I was like, you know, in my parents' living room. And it was a LP. And I'm like, hello, little girl. What's your rush? And I thought, oh, what if I do this? What if I've been planning this for years. Anyway, not that I hurt Greg and hurt him. I was like, throw marbles on the floor. It's like, oh, no, Greg's out. No, no. But I went on. And so Beverly Randolph, our PSM at the time, cool as a cucumber, all business, great. One of the greatest stage managers ever. God rest her soul. She calmly said, Christopher, you're on for Cinderella's Prince. I said, great. Awesome. She said, you're so calm. I said, you're so calm. She said, is there anything you need? I said, no, I got it. I'm good. Because what are you going to do? So I went on, got in the blues thing. Great. So the end of Act 1, we have there's a thing where Cinderella's evil stepsisters cut off their heels and their toes to fit in Cinderella's slipper. And there's a moment where Cinderella's prince pours out the shoe in front of the audience right downstage, right at the lip of the orchestra pit, and pours out blood out of the shoe, which is a simple stage trick. There's a bag of blood on your back, and there's a hose that runs down your arm, and there's a little pump, like a, you know, you just squeeze this pump and a little blood comes out, fills the shoe, and you pour it out, and the audience goes, gross. Yeah. Well, this particular show, my younger brother Mark, who had never seen me do a Broadway show ever, and this is not my first Broadway show, but it was the first time he had seen me do Broadway shows. So he's in the audience. Now, if I had had a rehearsal, they would have told me to just squeeze it maybe once.
Oh, no.
I squeezed that thing about 25 times, and it doesn't stop because it's just air pressure. So basically, when you press it once, a little blood comes out. When you press it 25 times nervously because I don't know how this works, you spray. And you spray the entire audience. And I sprayed about 20 feet into the audience. Okay, the entire cast is on stage. So right next to me is like the evil stepsisters and everything. There's a big white horse behind me, and there's Milky White, and there's Jack, and there's Jack's mom. And I'm turning around, and it's like a blood vein in my wrist has opened up, and it's spraying the audience. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And it won't stop. And so I'm turning, and I'm painting basically the cast with blood, and I'm turning everywhere. Everybody's blood everywhere, just blood. And Paul Gemignani, our conductor, amazing conductors in the orchestra pit, going, he's just getting covered with blood. My brother's in the audience going, this is awesome. And so Laura Benanti has to come on stage, and she has no idea what's happened. All of a sudden she sees, what the hell's happening? What is going on? What is happening? Just blood everywhere. And we looked like the cast of Carrie. I mean, it was crazy. It was bloodier than Sweeney Todd. And then she had to get on this horse. And she got up on the horse. The horse was a big plastic horse. She got up on the horse. But it was like smeared with blood. So she got up and just smeared the horse with blood. Oh, it was a great moment in theater history. And then I went on for about a week because Greg was, he burned his back so bad. So I was on for the week and we learned. I mean, that's the thing. You learn what and what not to do. And that was funny though. It just wouldn't stop.
So I have just one more question.
That's it? And then we're done?
Can we talk every day from now on about your career?
Wow, I've got plenty of stories. No. I mean, that's what I tell, like, because when I teach students, I teach with the Musical Theater Alliance and sometimes at the New School and give kids advice, especially, like, you know, people starting out, people ask me all the time, you know, do you have any advice for anybody? I was like, yeah, just keep going, keep doing it, keep believing in yourself, you're going to fail. I want you to destroy the world with your failures. I mean, just like horrible, ugly, disgusting, because if you make a huge mistake, you'll never do it again. And you can't be brilliant right away. You have to learn how to finesse. You have to learn how to make it work. You have to make it believable. But if you don't fail, you'll never learn anything. And when people just start out, they think, oh, I'm going to get a TV show. I'm going to get a Broadway show. I'm going to be a movie star right away. Ah, no, that doesn't happen. That it may happen for like maybe 0.1% of people out there. But for the most part, no. I had to stomp the ground just like everybody else. But I just kept going. And then the one thing I always say is, like, even if you fail, just remember it's going to be a great story one day. I mean, it always will be, because you'll always have this – there'll always be something that just – embarrasses yourself. Like I've embarrassed myself so many times, you know, and I'm in front of a paying crowd, and I can tell those stories. So but it's also very humbling, because you know what? Everyone's human and everyone's mistakes, and that's what theater is. It's people watching the human experience, and that's what's exciting.
Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us.
That was a really nice segue, by the way, to close the show.
You're very good.
I'm amazing.
Christopher Sieber currently stars as Miss Trunchbull in Matilda the Musical on Broadway. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.